Heirs of a Glorious Inheritance, we're carrying on in our series. I wanted to say thank you to William for last week and ministering on claiming our inheritance. Well done. Amen. I also want to say thank you to the technical team who enabled us to be in Florida and with you and watching. So we really appreciate that. Thanks. Let's give them a round of applause. You blessed us. That's great. Thank you. And faithful is the one who made the promise, and I love that piece. We've been looking in this series about this idea of how we can access the inheritance that the Bible says is ours. The problem and the frustration that I find is that a large portion of the church lives as though they are orphans, and the Bible declares we are not. We are beloved children whom Jesus has completely redeemed, and the Father has set aside an inheritance for us to walk in. Not the inheritance when we get to heaven. There is a portion of our inheritance that will only come when we get to heaven, but there is a massive portion of our inheritance that you and I are supposed to be walking in right now. And so what frustrates me and what angers me actually is a theology in the church that hinders God's people from expecting right now that they can walk into their inheritance. What angers me is a theology that separates you from the Lord Jesus Christ and keeps you as two separate entities, as though Jesus and you have not become one, as though you are not fused and bound and suffused and hidden away in Christ. Because the moment we can separate us, well, there's Jesus over there and me over here, and he's perfect and I'm just terrible, then I could never expect to walk in his inheritance. But the Bible says, because when you believed in Jesus, you become one with him in spirit, and now you are a co-heir with Jesus of everything that he died to purchase for you. It's not fair, I know. He did all the work and you get all the reward, but that's what happens when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. A massive transformation takes place. All the brokenness, sin, and shame that was mine was put on him, so that all the favor and love and blessing that was on him was put on me. Because I believed on him, I bear him. And I have an inheritance that I did not work for, but that he worked for, he purchased for me. My responsibility right now is to walk in that inheritance, and we've been looking at this concept as heirs of a glorious inheritance, how we can access, how we can walk in the inheritance that God has for us. I'm not saying that you should do anything that the Bible doesn't require you to. What I am trying to combat is a theology that is prevalent in the church that will keep you as an orphan, that will keep you away from your inheritance, that will keep you from expecting to see God's goodness right now in your life. Like, all righty. I just like, am I in the right church? Where am I? Everyone's like, this is a strange teaching. I wonder what's going on. Can we just practice? Just say amen. Just say it out loud. Just say amen. There you go. There you go. All right, just break that, then we're free. So we looked at the first week, we realized that God planned for us, God qualified us. He planned for us to be qualified for this inheritance. Jesus' death was the legal release of that inheritance, and the Holy Spirit is the one who administers that inheritance. We looked at that, that's interesting. The whole Godhead is engaged in this. And then we looked at the reality in John 16 that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine, my inheritance, and he'll make it known to you. That the Holy Spirit is the administrator of this inheritance. And so the best thing we can do if we want to walk in the inheritance that is ours, that Jesus already died to purchase, that the Father planned from before time began for us, that Jesus has put in place, is that we keep in step and we listen to the Holy Spirit. And that was the first session. If we're going to walk in all the inheritance, then listen and do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. You begin to walk in a greater and greater sense of that inheritance. And then we looked in the second week that this inheritance is as much, because suddenly when we think about inheritance, we always think about the goodies we're going to get, like what do I get? And it tends to go to physical things like healing and money and, you know, well, I that's, and I we looked in the second week that The reality is that the inheritance that God wants to give us is as much about what God is going to do in us as is what he's going to do through us. Because the inheritance is about our nature. We bear and share the nature of Jesus Christ. We get to participate in the mind of, we share his mind. This is a profound inheritance of grand, grand value. We cannot underestimate the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. This is our inheritance too. And so we took the second week and we just looked at, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender not just to what do you want me to do and I want to see things performing through my life, but what do you want to work in me? What do you want to demonstrate through me? And we looked at the fruit of being in step with the Holy Spirit will demonstrate itself in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. And then last week, William spoke about just this accessing and laying hold of that by an understanding of our identity in Christ and his faithfulness, that faithful is the one who promised. I want to say this morning, just picking it up, if you just caught up with me then, is that we're part of a magnificent plan. God planned this. And because God planned this, he's not a reluctant participant. See, many people approach it like I have to twist God's arm somehow. What can I do to win God over? Because, you know, I want my inheritance, but God is a reluctant. He's like, oh, I don't know if I should give it to you. Now, God planned this before time. God meant this. This was his plan the whole way. Jesus died to execute, to make it available for you and I. He's the grand architect and CEO. It's not like you have to come to him and go, God, I know this is hard, but could you do something for me? He's going, glad you caught up. Let's go. Let's move on. Colossians says, let's joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. The Father thought it, Jesus bought it, the Holy Spirit wrought it. There is something about the moving and the collaboration of God that this inheritance he means for you to walk in it. He does not mean for you to be a distant cousin, second cousin, the red-headed stepchild on the outskirts of the family. No, God wants you right in. He wants you blessed. He wants you walking in it. And because God wants you to walk in all of this, he said a few things. He said, I don't want you to try this in your own wisdom. That's why the Bible says the gospel is not of the wisdom of men. It's the gospel of, it's foolishness to men, but the gospel is the power of God. And so he says, declare God's wisdom revealed in the gospel. Don't do this in your own wisdom. Jesus turned around and he said, don't do this in your own power. He said to his disciples, I forbid you to go out and preach. You're not allowed to go and preach. Stay in Jerusalem until you get endued with power from on high. I do not want you preaching powerless messages. Not allowed to leave Jerusalem. Stay until you get power from on high. And when you get power, you're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. I don't want you to do this in your own wisdom. I don't want you to do this in your own power. And I don't want you to do this in your own authority. He said, I want you to do this in my name, not in your name. And so in this message today, I want to examine the name above every other name, that we can access our inheritance in Jesus' name. There is a part of your inheritance that is going to come to you because you asked for it. That's bad news, because I haven't been asking. Some of us haven't been asking anywhere near as much as we should. But they taught me that if I ask boldly, that's just arrogant. And who do I think I am? They taught you wrong. Jesus said, I don't want you to go and do this in your own authority. I want you to do it in my name, in my authority. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to give you my name, and I command you in my name. And so he says in Mark 16, go into all the earth, and in my name, you'll drive out demons, and you'll speak with new tongues, and you'll heal the sick. There are six stated promises in the book of John where Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to ask now in my name. The book of John is somewhat different to the other Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels have these three Gospels that kind of go through the life of Jesus. But the book of John, almost half the book of John is focused on the last week of Jesus' life. And so John chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16 is probably the last discourse that Jesus had with his disciples, where this is like, Jesus knows, tonight I'm dying. Tonight they take me out and I go through a terrible suffering and I die tomorrow. Jesus knew this was the last moment. And so we have captured in the book of John this last discourse that Jesus has with his disciples. Pretty important stuff. We have chapter 17 is the last prayer that Jesus prayed before he was taken. And then the rest of the chapters are dedicated to the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection and then his last parting words with his disciples. But in this last discourse of Jesus with his disciples, he goes to this place and he says, all right, now I want you to hear this. And six times in that discourse, he says to them, you can ask in my name. Now, because we're on the other side of this, we have all this theology that's been built and tacked on and hung on these things, but I want you to know that the people who were sitting there on that time when Jesus said, you can ask in my name, that meant something to them. They were like, you mean I can go and use your name, your authority? Jesus said, yes, that's what I want you to do. So in chapters 14, 15, and 16 in the book of John, there are two main focuses that Jesus is talking to his disciples about. He's talking about asking in my name, and he's talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. Because both of these are the key factors that are going to bring the inheritance of God that Jesus already paid for, already made available, that the Father's already qualified you for, into the practical circumstances of your life. Listening to the Holy Spirit and asking in Jesus' name. These are two keys. I want to take you through these scriptures, and let's just read the six scriptures. I want to say, just this is for free. Let me just say this. When I studied up on this, I have heard the most unimaginable mess of theology that's built and tacked onto these. I know it says you can ask whatever, but what that actually means is you can only ask in a limited thing on a Tuesday night between this time. It just, people just limit what Jesus said. They just drive it down into a small little thing because they cannot believe it's this good. Jesus didn't actually mean what he said here. Let me explain to you what he meant. He actually meant, not for you, you ugly thing. That's pretty much the way this is explained. And it's not true. So I just want to read it. John 14, 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? Anything that has the motive that'll bring glory to the Father. Will this bring glory to my Father? Yes. Then I'm asking in Jesus' name, Father. John 14, 14, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 15, you did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Fruitfulness, God is interested in your fruitfulness. But God did not say, I want you to be fruitful, now go and try hard. He said, I want you to be fruitful, and because I've chosen you to be fruitful, I'm giving you my name. Here is my authority. You can ask in the name of Jesus Christ. John 16, 23. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John 16, 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I'll ask the Father on your behalf. Jesus went on to say the Father himself loves you because you believed on me. No, you will ask and my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. In spiritual realms, every name has a measure of authority. In the spiritual realm, every name has a measure of authority. And so remember the seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19. There's this group of people who hung around the church and they saw the apostles and other people driving out demons. And they were like, woo, that's great, because I got a couple of friends who got demon problems. And so they went and they started this ministry. And they started driving out demons in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And so this is cool. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. And one day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know about. Who are you? See, people say, well, if you ask in Jesus' name, it's like a magical little thing. It's not mechanical, it's not magical, it's not mystical. It's like this little thing that you tag on. Whatever you want to pray for, you just say in Jesus' name at the end of the sentence. That's not what Jesus is talking about. So the seven sons of Sceva had never given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought it was this magic talisman. You just say the magic word, and then the result will come. No, that's not it at all. It's not like a magic talisman here. We end a prayer in Jesus' name. No, it means that when you know who you are in Christ, when you are trying to bring glory and fruitfulness to the Father, when you say, Lord, I'm asking for this in Jesus' name. I'm not asking for it in my own name. I'm asking it in the name of that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess, He is the Lord. I'm bringing the Lordship of Jesus Christ into this current set of circumstances. Father, would you make these circumstances bow? Would you prove again the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I'm celebrating that I am in Christ and He is in me. And these circumstances must bow. So in the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Father. And I start to command the circumstances to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. See, these are your inheritance and the authority of Jesus' name are inexorably linked. Let me take you to Ephesians 1. You know the scripture well, but Paul's praying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of the glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the mighty strength which He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Listen to this, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and over every name that is invoked. Jesus Christ was put above every name. Doesn't matter what the name is. It doesn't matter what authority it comes in. There is a name that supersedes all of that, far above every other authority. That every other name must bow. His name carries the supreme authority. And it says, not only in this current age, but in the one to come, and God has placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything. Why? For the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Jesus has been elevated to the place of supreme authority. He has been given the name that is above every other name. You ever see on those shows where there's some police force and they're investigating and the FBI shows up and they take precedence. Why? Because they have authority. Someone from the president's office comes in and goes, I'm under orders from the president. They take authority. Why? Because they bear the name. Jesus said, I don't want you going out and trying to walk this life in your name. I don't want you preaching this gospel in your power. I want you preaching this gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I want you functioning in my name, not in your name. I want you praying in my name, not in your name. Just think about that. I come to Father, and I want to pray. When I'm praying in my name, I got all these knots in my string about, have I been perfect? Did I do everything the Lord told me? Have I remembered everything I should have? Is my life just right? And I'm telling you what, if you come and pray in your own name, I cannot believe there's a single person in this room who will feel confident before the throne of God. I certainly don't. But when I come in Jesus' name, I know that I have been completely washed by the precious blood of Jesus. I am completely redeemed. I have been completely bought back from every form of bondage. I've been completely washed of any sins. I have been justified. I have been sanctified. I have been glorified. God's favor is on me. He sees me as holy and blameless in His sight. I stand not in my own strength, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask in Jesus' name. Now we're on an agenda that is heaven sent, and I start to pray prayers that are bold. I start to ask God for things that will transform nations. I start to trust God that He would shift environments and that things would start to move. I pray bold prayers because I'm not praying in my own name. I'm not asking for my own pleasure. I'm now involved in the King of Glory, and I'm starting to say, Father, I need to see. I want You to change the atmosphere of my office because I want to win these people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking that You would change the atmosphere in my school because these young people need to be full of the glory of God. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that You would bring great provision so that I can get behind spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Changes the way you pray. You start praying in Jesus' name. And here's what Jesus said. You can ask for anything if you ask in my name. There's no limit. There's no hindrance. There's no, that. Now you go too far. He said, anything in my name, you can ask my Father. And He'll give it to you. Being found in appearance of man, Philippians 2, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted Him to the highest place and given Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In essence, they came to Jesus often and said, by what authority are You doing these things? And Jesus kept saying, my Father's authority. They go, who's your Father? I said, God. And they wanted to stone Him. Well, stop asking me questions if you don't like the answers. You know, it's like, you keep asking me, who told you to do it? I say, God. And then you get knotted. In whose name do you come? Who gives you the right? And when we come in our own authority, and we're walking in our own plan, and we're walking in our own initiative, there's not much oomph in it. There's not much impressive to it. But when we're on a mission from God, when we walk in the calling of God, we come in His name. By what authority do you do this? By the authority of the name of Jesus. We can represent Him and we can rely on His resource. If I'm coming in my own name, then it's up to me. But if I come in His name, I'm saying, Father, I'm on Your agenda here, Holy Spirit. He goes, I want You to step out and say this. I want You to pray for that person in the name of Jesus. The authority of Jesus' name is given to those who believe. In the next three, I'm closing pretty soon, so when are we going to practice? But in Acts 3, this is an interesting story, because Peter heals a lame. Peter and John are going into the temple, and there's a guy who's been lame. Interestingly enough, Jesus walked past the same lame guy for a bunch of times. At least 3 years that we know of, probably for 20 years of Jesus' life, he walked in through this gate into the temple. But Peter and John are walking, and Peter, the guy says, can you give me some silver and gold? And he goes, I don't have any of that. Well, I'll tell you what I can give you. And he says, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. And he takes hold of the guy, and the guy raises up, and he starts screaming and shouting and jumping up and down. Right? Guy's never walked in his life, but he's jumping and shouting. And he goes running into the temple, shouting. I guarantee you there was some Sadducee there or some Pharisee who was like, oh, this is the house of God. But they got mad. The Sadducees and the teachers of the law, and the chief priests. And they call Peter and John to account. They go, what are you doing? How dare you demonstrate God's goodness in public? Isn't it remarkable? Isn't it remarkable? You demonstrate the power of God for good in public places, and people get mad with you. No, don't you do that. You say that a terrible tragedy was the work of God, and they all go, ah. But you demonstrate God's kindness to sick people or to poor people, to broken people. And a miracle happens. And they treat you with disdain and disrespect. So they call them in. And this is what Peter says. Because he's trying to be gentle with them. He says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. So they have this, and then they kick them out. They don't know what to do. And they had Peter and John brought before them again, and they began to question them. By what power or name do you do this? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. So they kick them out. They go, what are we going to do? Everybody in Jerusalem knows that a notable miracle has happened. May it be that the church again puts the world in the place where they go, what are we going to do? Everybody knows a notable miracle. Like what's... Like, it's not just an ordinary miracle, right? Amen. What's the difference between an ordinary miracle and a notable miracle? It's like a notable miracle. It's like there's a, apparently the degrees of miracles. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and then they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they've performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. Why? Because we've got a guy jumping and screaming and telling everybody you can. No, that's me. I was the guy. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. They understood. Because Peter had said, what do you think you're doing? So in the name of Jesus, we're healing people. Go, you're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to function in that name any longer. Go back to being just Peter the fisherman, because we could disdain him. But when you stand in Jesus' name and notable miracles happen, we don't know what to do. And this is spreading. And now, so you're not allowed to be in Jesus' name anymore. So the Bible says, whatever you do, give thanks in Jesus' name. So Colossians 1 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Ephesians says, sing and make music in your heart from the Lord. Always giving thanks to God for the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you love the Lord Jesus and you've given your life to him, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel justified or not, whether you feel clean or not, this is an amazing part of the gospel. When you believed, you were not only cleansed, but God also gave you the authority to act in his name. And Jesus said, this is the last things he said to his disciples. 6 times he said, listen guys, I want you to ask in my name. I want you to come and say, Father, in Jesus' name and for his sake, I'm asking for this. I'm asking you to make a difference. I'm asking you to transform lives. I'm asking for supernatural power to break out. I'm asking for a change of the atmosphere. I'm asking for seismic shifts. I'm asking, Lord, for revolution. I pray in Jesus' name, make a difference. And you cannot look at the history of the church and saw that those people made little incremental differences. No, they took the world by the throat and they shook it. And within about 60 years after Jesus' death, the disciples, these 12 timid people, in the power of the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name, had shaken the known world. And Jesus Christ within a very short space of time, became the master of the Roman world. He didn't do that by asking, barely get by, just hope I can make it through. Help me make it through the night, Jesus prays. So I'm going to close. I'm going to dare you. I dare you. In your time this week, go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me something to ask in Jesus' name. Not in my name. My name's very unimpressive. But the name of Jesus in me has all authority and power. And Jesus said, let me just read it to you. I'll do whatever you ask in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Now ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be full. And in that day, you can ask anything in my name. I want to dare you right now to ask God for something large, something that'll bring honor to the Father, something that'll be tremendously fruitful. You got something? Let's pray. Father, I'm not coming in my name. We don't come in our name. We don't come in the name of Northlands, Lord. We come in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've got things in our heart. I think you stirred them in us. And so, Lord, I ask for them in Jesus' name, that you can be glorified and that we can be fruitful and that his name can be honored in all the earth. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you.
Yes. The name of Jesus has been lifted high this morning. There has been a purpose and a vision for you this morning at service, from worship to the testimony to the message of us asking great things of God in his beautiful, wonderful, powerful name. So will you walk in faith this week, knowing that you are full of his Spirit and that you have been called of God to go tell the world of his great name. Before you go, we do have a ministry team and a prophetic team, people that pray before the service. They get here early to pray for you and y'all that are watching online. Pray for y'all. And so here are some of the words that they got, some ideas from the Lord about what may be going on. And if there's anything else that you need prayer for, or if you need to hear a fresh word from the Lord this morning for you and your family, would you come up to the front where the ministry team will be? If you relate to anything on the screen or the very bottom says anything else, so that's you. So we're so glad that you joined us this morning. We look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great day.